Good morning, church.
Morning.
Good to have you all here. We're still in Psalm 18. I'd invite you to turn there, and we're going to look down to verse number 19. To begin, we'll reference back a couple of verses in that text. Psalm 18 is a reiteration of 2 Samuel 22. You'll find this in almost its exact form in 2 Samuel chapter 22. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, it's kind of a private song that David sings to God for his deliverance from his enemies, and especially his deliverance from Saul. Saul, you know, throughout David's life, sought on many occasions to take his life. At least five are recorded for us in Scripture. Five times that Saul, it is recorded that Saul tried to take David's life. And David often was in fear for his life. He was in difficult conditions. He could not always have the necessary sustenance he needed. The men that were with him would try to provide that, but often they were in caves or dark country hiding from Saul. When we read this same psalm in chapter 18 of Psalm, it now has become a chorister's song that is sung by the people of Israel during worship. And it became a great worship song for the children of Israel. And it's a call for deliverance. And David now, and when we get down to these verses we're at, is going to be telling us now why God delivered him. You know, God doesn't have to deliver anyone. But God, in his marvelous grace and mercy, does. And it's because he loves his creation. Man fell, not God's fault. Man in their own humanity and choices decided against God, plunged the whole human race into sin. You're born now in sin. You don't become a sinner when you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. It's inbred. It's part of your human nature to be sinful. And God, in his marvelous mercy, provided a way through Christ on Calvary to shed his blood and pay our payment for sin and deliver us from the bondage of death, deliver us from the iniquity that we had committed, and deliver us for heaven's good and for our help and encouragement daily. And so we're so thankful that we are delivered. Amen. Now, David is talking here about a delivery of a different kind, though it certainly is illustrative of our own deliverance at salvation and suggests to us that there may be times of difficult and hardship that we go through. God has not forgotten us. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll step into those difficult times and at his perfect time, because God's never late, he's always on time. And at his perfect time, he will, in fact, deliver those he loves. And so we're going to listen to David talk now, and he's going to tell us why God chose to deliver him. And he really gives us three wonderful reasons, and we want to walk through those. Look at verse 19. Let me read it to you. It says this about God, David speaking. He brought me forth also into a large place. Underline that word large. It's an incredible word. He delivered me. There's a second thing. Then in verse 19 he says, because he delighted in me. Have you thought much about that? God delights in you. You look at yourself sometimes. I know I do. I get up in the morning and I say, who could ever delight in that? But God delights in us. Amen. We are the figure on which he bestows his delight. That's an incredible thought. And so we want to look at these reasons. There are just three listed for us in verse 19. They'll be explained in verses 16, 17, and 20 down through 23, God's delight. The first thing we want to notice is that God delivered David by changing his condition. Here's what he did. He wanted to give him a new place. Amen? He gave him a new place. And he describes it here. He says this, "The Lord brought me forth also into a large place." That word large is the word we'd get our word spacious or commodious or big. Amen? Listen to me very carefully. Before you were saved, you were in a bound place. In fact, David talks about that, illustrates that just in these verses prior to this passage, where he was hemmed in like he was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He couldn't move. He couldn't get his shoulders turned. He couldn't get his head turned. He was stuck between this difficult position, and he didn't know how to get out. He couldn't get out on his own. And the Bible says now David recognizes that God brought him from that condition, that hemmed in condition, to a large place, unhemmed. Amen? Now, listen to me. When you were unsaved, you were hemmed in. You were hemmed in by sin and self and Satan, and they none of them were going to let you go. You may have tried to turn over a new leaf. You may had tried to have a new philosophy. You may tried to get rid of your sorrows with other things, material things, or drink, or whatever it is. You may have tried to deliver yourself, but you couldn't get delivered. But one day you met Jesus Christ, and he delivered you and moved you into a large place, a place of expanse, a place where you could move around, a place where you could have and enjoy being all that God wanted you to be. God gave you a large place, and it's a marvelous thought. There are three thoughts about that word large. Number one, it has the thought of a place of expanse, a big room. Amen? Have you ever stayed in a small room? Vacation, you're on vacation and you're trying to pinch pennies. How many know what I'm talking about? And you see Wilbur's motel for small people. And you think to yourself, how much is Wilbur's motel for small people? $19.95 a night. Now, two things should automatically suggest to you you shouldn't stay there. Number one, small people. Number two, $19.95 a night. And you go in, you figure out that it had been fumigated for years, that you don't dare sleep under the sheets. How many have ever been in a place like this? We have. And you lay on top in your clothes. And it's a small place. Then you finally get to where you're going and you're staying at some resort and you walk into that room and your jaw drops. It's massive. That living room, dining room, kitchen, three bedrooms, 2.5 baths. You're just shocked by the provision that you've been given to stay at a place in a nice resort, and you compare Wilbur's place to that resort, and it just amazes you the difference, the freedom you feel, the excitement you feel, the joy you feel, the expanse that's there. Folks, when you got saved, that's exactly what happened. You were delivered into an expanse of space. And not only does that word large mean a expanse, but it has a thought of a place where there's freedom or liberty. A large place. Do you remember when you got saved? The liberty you felt in Christ? You ever been so wrapped up in a circumstance that you just didn't know where you're going to go and how you're going to get out of it. and God interposed and stepped up and stepped in and got you delivered, and how free you felt. The joy that was there in your heart because of the freedom that came. David is trying to tell us that God, when God does a thing, he does it big. He doesn't do it small. There are no small salvations in Christ. They're all big. In fact, Jesus said, "What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? What could a man give in exchange for his soul?" Your salvation, that soul of yours being saved, is more valuable than all of the gold and silver and monetary value and material things in this whole world. When God saved you, he saved you largely. He freed you completely. He gave you liberty. Boy, that's good stuff. This word large not only means a place of expanse and a place of liberty, but it really has the figure of enrichment. It enriches you spiritually, mentally, physically, enriched. It changed David completely. David was never the same after this deliverance. You know, David was constantly hiding, constantly on the run, constantly in fear. He had hardly any rest. He was afraid to go out at all for fear of being found. I just got to imagine when God came to David and expressed his love in this way, and David realized for the first time that he had been delivered from all of that heartache and all of that attack. I just imagine he must have walked outside wherever he was, stretched his arms, looked up into the sky, and just said, "Praise the Lord. I've been delivered." He didn't have to hide in the rock anymore. He didn't have to hide in the cave anymore. He didn't have to run from Saul anymore or from those his enemies. He did not have to do that. God delivered him completely. And he was a free man, and he was spiritually enriched in a way that just is almost impossible to explain. When people get delivered from a cancer or from some other thing, they are enriched, and it's hard for them to explain it to us. But they just know in their heart that something has happened supernaturally that can only be by God's grace, and they are enriched because of it. So God stepped in. Why did God deliver David? He wanted to give him a new place, enriched by the grace of God. Secondly, our verse tells us, he brought me forth also into large place. Number one. Number two, he delivered me. He delivered me. God delivered David in order to declare his delight in David. He delivered me because he, what does it say there? Delighted in me, all God's people said. He delighted in him. Do you know God delights in his children? I know sometimes we don't feel like he does, but God always delights in those he loves. And he was no different with David. He delighted in him. In fact, David describes what caused this delight and this position of being delighted in by God. Back in verses 16 and 17, they say this: he sent from above, right under that, angelic provision, all God's people said. This isn't talking about God coming down. God doesn't send himself. He sends a messenger or an agency or an agent. He sent from above. God sent angelic help for David. Do you know that the Bible teaches us, both in the Old and New Testament, that God's angels gather around those who are God's children. You have no idea how protected you are. If God would lift the scales from our eyes for a moment, it would probably scare us to death. How many are pretty good drivers? How many aren't so good? When my family decides to go someplace, the first question they ask isn't, where are we going? They ask, who's driving? And if they say, Papa, the girls all of a sudden get on the floor, pray, do the sign of the cross. It's terrible for them to have to get in that car. And I think I'm a pretty good driver. I think it's all the people around me that are messed up. But I was driving one time when I was a young man, a youth pastor, and I had 9 senior ladies in the van with me. And I drive a little bad on purpose, I have to admit that. They get all scared and flustered, and this one lady cried out, "You must have 100 guardian angels." She said, "You got to have at least 10 on each fender." But do you know that we do have guardian angels that God sends to supernaturally protect us and guard us? And it was no different with David. David said, God wanted me to know that he cared about me, so much so that he sent from above. He sent angels to take care of me, to watch over me. Unbelievable. He says in verse number 16, he sent angels from above. He took me. I love that phrase. And it literally means to pull in or pull out of trouble. He took me. He saw me about to enter into a difficult position. And in that split second, he took me. Pulled me out of trouble and drew me to his breast for consolation and care and comfort. And that is one of the pictures of that little phrase, took me. We read these kind of things and we don't really realize how powerful they are until we look and see what they're saying. And they're saying that God literally put his hands on David and yanked him free, all God's people said. And then it says, he drew me out of many waters. The picture of a drowning man who's about to go down for count number 3, and there's no hope. And somebody comes just in a split second and grabs him and pulls him out of the water. In your sinful state, you may have been going down for the last count. You know, God doesn't promise that we're to hear the gospel any more than one time. Yet he graciously has allowed many of us to hear it many times before we receive Christ. But the last time you heard it and you got saved may have been the last time you were getting to hear it. And God in his mercy and grace pulled you out as a person who was sinking deep. What is the songwriter saying? I was sinking deep in sin. That's how we were. And God did that for David. He drew me out of many waters, a drowning man, to be taken out of the deep where he would have surely have died. God supernaturally took him. Verse 17 tells us there was some divine intervention. He delivered me from my strong enemy. The word delivered me connotates a power greater than ourselves. That's why the phrase, the word he, is in front of it. He who? He God. There are some deliverances that can only be done by God. Sometimes God chooses to use human instrumentality to deliver us. Sometimes God chooses circumstance to deliver us. But on rare occasions, God shows up and delivers us himself. This is what he did for David. He delivered me. And it's pretty emphatic in its statement. It's a personal divine intervention. It was necessary for God to do something because his enemy, he says, was too strong for me. They were way overwhelming. You know, there's some sins that we constantly fight with as believers. I don't know what yours is. I call them easily besetting sins, because I think that's what the apostle called them in Hebrews chapter 12. The sin that doth so easily beset us. It's a sin that can get you almost every time. It may cause you to be gripped by fear. It may cause you to think that your value for God is now ruined. But whatever it is, it's too strong for you. And that's when we fall on our face and plead God's intervention. God, come to my aid. Rescue me from this. Remove this from my life. And God responds always with a yes. He comes and takes care of us. Divine intervention. God declared his delight in David by angelic provision, by great rescue, and by divine intervention, all God's people said.
Amen.
And there's one last thing. God declares David's deliverance because of David's faithfulness. He rewarded his faithfulness. Look at verses 20 through 23. We'll have to hurry. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. Underline that. It's not self-righteousness. It's not even the righteousness that we have in God or in Christ. We have that. Amen? But this is talking about action. This is talking about the good we do. Or how we do what we do. Are your actions righteous? How we respond. How was David to respond to his enemies? How was David to respond to Saul? His response, from God's viewpoint, was righteous. His actions were righteous. Write this down. How we respond in adversity tells a lot about us. Sometimes you want to get even. That's not the right response. He said that God rewarded him according to his righteousness or his rightful deeds in adversity. Verse 20 also tells us that he rewarded me according to the cleanness of my hands. You know when that phrase is used, what it's talking about? Your moral purity under stress and hardship. What do you look like under stress and hardship? Your behavior toward others is morally right. It's moral excellence in hardship. David said, according to the cleanness of my hands, you've rewarded me. When you're under attack, people are trying to hurt you, the pressure is on, how do you respond? Is it moral excellence that shows up? That's when people see you for who you really are and who Christ really is in your life, and they say, how does he do that? It's not about getting even. It's about staying right. Then in verse 21, he says, he rewarded me for my obedience, for I have kept thy way. The word kept means to follow, to heed, to observe, to obey, to go in the right direction. I have kept thy way. his direction, the path laid out for David, the way the Lord was directing him. I followed that way, David said, and did not depart. It was hard, sometimes debilitating, sometimes harsh, certainly fearful, but I followed the way. I went the right way. I walked where God wanted me to walk. I did what God wanted me to do. I was sure that I was following his direction. Sometimes the way is obscured. We still must follow. Sometimes the way is overwhelming. We still have to follow. Sometimes the way we doubt. But we're still supposed to go. Because it's never, ever been about us. It's always been about him. You find out a lot about yourself in your obedient response to Christ. God not only rewarded him for his obedience, but he rewarded him for his attitude. You know, so much of what happens in life is attitude. Attitude. What's your attitude about it? How do you act? How are you responding? He had the right attitude about God. Look at verse 22. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. Attitude. Everything that God did and was doing to David did not change his attitude. He did what was right and accepted God's hand in his storm. He didn't question. He didn't cop an attitude. He didn't become cynical. He just stayed right. Attitude. Then in verse 23, it stretches the attitude. Verse 23, I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. He kept the right heart attitude. Outward attitude is one thing, heart attitude is another, amen? What's your heart saying? It's like honor and obedience for a kid. Parents say, take out the garbage. So he goes over and yanks the bag out of the thing and ties it up, bangs it off all the doors going out the house, drags it to the place where he's going to deposit it, throws it in there, tears the bag open when he throws it in there, then he has to kick it around for a while, finally gets it in there. That's obedience. He did what he was asked. Honor is you go there, you take the bag out, you carry it there the way you ought to, you throw it away, and you come back and you say, Mom, the garbage taken out. That's honor. You know, your attitude can be displayed one or two ways. And what will determine how it's outwardly displayed will be the inner heart. What's your heart doing? What's your heart saying? How's your heart responding? David said this. He said, I was also upright before him. The word upright means in here, upright. In heart, upright. I was upright before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. There's an interesting thought. He kept himself from doing what he really wanted to do, which was probably take Saul's head off. But he did not do that. He let God deal with his enemy, and God did a much greater job. Hey, God will deliver you just like he delivered David. Amen? Amen? He delighted in David, provided for David, took care of David. David was faithful until God finally delivered him from that emissary that was so bad. And God will do that for each one of us. We need to be careful.
that we walk before God in the right way, always honoring Him so that He will honor us. Lord, help us to be thankful for our deliverance, for You stepping in the person of Your Son, and walking the road we should have walked, receiving the stripes we should have received, hanging on the cross that we should have hung on, being punished for our sins when we should have been punished for them. Thank You for doing that to deliver us. May we walk before You righteously with clean hands and a pure heart, with faithful, committed attitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.